Now, if you would like, please to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. We begin a new chapter, and we find that, first of all, we have an invitation to learn from Solomon. And you might think, well, this is all a bit above my head. But I would suggest again that there's a message here for you. If you're very young, maybe thought you were going home this evening, or if you are very old and think that perhaps there's little that you might have wanted an early night. I don't know. But what I hope is that you're all going to find there's something here. And let's see how it begins. The first verse here. Ye children, the instruction of a father. Now that should prick up your ears, particularly if you're a child, because here is Solomon speaking to you. Now, notice that Solomon only had one son, which is fairly remarkable because he had 999 wives. It must have been God's judgment upon him that he only had one son from all those wives, which just goes to show, isn't it? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Don't think that you can live your life under your own steam, in your own strength. That's what lots of people do, and they fail because, in the end, time and chance happeneth to them all. Time and chance. Maybe the way the world sees things, and if you don't have the Bible, you'll think it's chance events. Things go wrong. Things don't turn out as you're expecting them to. But as Christians, we know that's because God is sovereign and he sends his providences. And we know that from one of the Psalms we sang this morning, that God resists the proud but giveth grace to the humble. And therefore, we find that although we can make our plans, as we are discovering, those of us who wanted to go to the Philippines, I do remember praying for our brother and sister before they went to the Philippines last week, that acknowledging that we can only say we're going to this city or that city if God wills. Well, it wasn't God's will for our brother and sister to travel last week. And so it's been put off to Monday, and we hope that God allows the trip to go forward because our sister was what not well enough to travel. Isn't that humbling for all of us? They were all set to go. The aircraft took off, as far as we know, but it took off without our brother and sister. And it looks as though one of the flights tomorrow is going to take off without one of our brothers, unless the Lord touches his shoulder and he decides he's going to join us. So we remember, we realize that our times are in God's hands. And so we need to be on the right side of the one who ordains things, who decides things in heaven. Are you on his side? Or do you find things work against you and you're constantly frustrated? Well, that is, I'm afraid, what happens if you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you're not walking according to his will. But as we see that even if we are Christians, things don't always work out as we expect them to. And we have to realize that it is the Lord who appoints our times and our seasons, and he has a reason for everything. And I'm sure our brother and sister will be able to look back and say, well, although we hoped to be in the Philippines for the last 4 days, actually good has come from us being in London for those 3 days, 4 days, or what would turn out to be almost a week. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. When you're born, you don't have understanding, do you? You're a sinner. Somebody said, it's quite harsh, but the reason why God made people, caused people to be born small and weak is because if they didn't, they'd kill us. If you think about that, it's a horrible thought, isn't it? But it's true because we're born sinners. We're born in rebellion. And because they're small and they look cute, we all were small and look cute. It hid the fact that we had rebellious hearts. And as soon as a child cries because it wants more milk, it's showing its selfish nature. And I'm sorry to say, but all of you and me in this room did that when we were young. It's just as well we were weak and small because we couldn't harm anybody. We need instruction about how to live. You don't have understanding. And if you don't have understanding and you don't gain understanding when you're young, you're going to make terrible mistakes when you're older. Your life is going to be a disaster. No one wants their life to be a disaster, do they? And that's why Solomon says to the children, attend to no understanding. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father. He doesn't say your father. He says a father because he's instructing children as well as his own. He's being kind and generous. He's passing on the wisdom that he's got, not just to his own son, as many people do, but he is making his wisdom known to everybody. There's no one apart from the Lord Jesus wiser than Solomon. He's known for his wisdom. So if you want to be wise in your life and make right decisions, then you need to listen to what he has to say. And the reason is given in verse 2, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. I'm going to tell you the right things because, of course, he was divinely inspired. God gave him things to say and things to write. Did you know he wrote two psalms? He wrote Psalm 72, and we often sing the last three verses, that wonderful doxology at the end of Psalm 72. And he wrote Psalm 127. It's Psalm 127 is a marvelous psalm. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Unless the Lord build the city, guard the city, they watch, the watchers watch in vain. It's vain to rise up early and to eat the bread of fools. You see, he knew. He knew from his own experience. And at the end of his life, unfortunately, he had sinned. He turned away and things ended. Nothing like as well as they began for Solomon. So unfortunately, he didn't live according to the wisdom that he had gained. That's another lesson to us, isn't it? And often, unfortunately, we have to tell people, well, you must learn from my mistakes as well as the things that go right. Don't do the things that I did that were wrong. Do the things that I did that were right. Learn from my mistakes. And we must learn from Solomon's mistakes as well. Forsake ye not my law. Don't forsake the law that Solomon taught, which he gained from his own father. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He wasn't David's only son, but he was David's special son because he was to be his heir. And a special son is, in as we should understand it, a believer, a Christian. That is a special child because that child is loved in a special way by God. Every child of God is loved savingly. And what I mean by loved savingly is that he loves you so much, he's going to save you from your sins. And it's a wonderful thing to be a special child of God. And are you a special child of God? Have you bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus? Have you repented of your sins and believed on him as your Lord and Saviour? Tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. It's a wonderful thing to be tenderly loved by your mother. And God, of course, in a sense, well, God is our Father, but in that sense, the sense of his love, it transcends the love of man. So you can't say this is a manly love. It's God's love. God's love transcends the love of a mother and a father. Now, we see that that Solomon was taught by his father. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. And we're seeing here the fruit of Solomon's upbringing. You see, Solomon himself had divine words. We know that because he wrote, do you know which books of the Bible Solomon wrote? He wrote Book of Ecclesiastes. Sorry, the Book of Proverbs, the Book of Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomons, and two Psalms. Well, if you compare all the Psalms, the length of the Psalms that David wrote, probably David wrote more. But his son wrote a lot. But his son didn't think, well, because I write the words of God, I'm not going to pay any attention to what my father taught me. He built on what his father had taught him. And friends, we must beware today of people who forsake the wisdom of our forefathers. We've got to walk in the old way and in the old paths. And there's a verse that we read in Jeremiah chapter 6. Let's just turn there very briefly. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Stand ye and ask for the old paths and that good way. This is what Solomon was doing. He was walking in the good old paths. And you could not put a cigarette, and sorry, that's a bad expression, cigarette paper. It's a very, very thin paper between what his father taught and what he taught, because both were divinely inspired by the Spirit of God. Both of them taught the words of God. They were consistent. Beware of new teachers that despise the wisdom of our forefathers and bring in new doctrines. That is dangerous because we will be led away from those good old paths. If you go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Timothy was told, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, this is by Paul, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy had to pass down what he had been taught to the next generation. And that's what Solomon was doing. He was teaching what his father had taught him to the next generation, not just his own son, Rehoboam, but to others as well. And tragedy was that Rehoboam didn't listen to him and he lost his kingdom. He lost most of his kingdom, lost most of Israel, because he listened to the young men and not the old men. He didn't listen to his father's advisors. He listened to the new, to the young, foolish men who rejected the wisdom of the ages. So can I urge all of us, remember the old paths, listen to the wisdom of older Christians. Don't just listen to people who tell you who don't believe in God and tell you to go a wrong way, because you will end up going the wrong way as well. And just because somebody's son goes the wrong way, as Rehoboam did, he is responsible for it. It wasn't Solomon's fault. Solomon taught him to go in the right way, but he chose the wrong way. And he goes on in verse 4. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Do you notice that his father, David, told him to let thine heart retain my words? Now, you might expect him to say, well, remember, keep them in your head. And when you're at school, you have to learn things, don't you? By some things, you have to learn the alphabet at some stage, or some time ago now, wasn't it? Your times tables. Don't know if you still have to learn those, but there are other things that you're going to have to learn. Perhaps you have that there are events in history, there are dates, and you remember them in your mind. But what Solomon is saying is there are things that you need to store up in your heart, because it is the heart that is the wellspring of life, the fountainhead of life. And where your heart wants you to go is where you will go. So you need to store up godly teaching in your heart and to follow that. If you just put it in your head but not in your heart, then you're going to live a double life, because your heart's going to go one way, your head's going to go the other, and you're likely as not to follow your heart if the word of God is not established in it, so that you are convinced of its truth and you will follow it come what may. And so he says, he taught me also and said, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. We are not saved by keeping God's commandments. But we saw this morning in John chapter 15 that if you are truly a Christian, then abiding in Christ means keeping his word, keeping his laws, keeping in his commandments. Show that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Show that you are a true Christian. So if you want to live, you've got to be born again. And being born again, you will want to keep his commandments. And you will keep them imperfectly, but you will try and keep them. You will do everything to keep them, and you will avoid breaking them. Get wisdom. Next, get wisdom. What are we to do? We're to get it. And we've come across this verse before, haven't we? Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. There are things we have to do in life. And we've got to get sound doctrine. We've got to get the Bible's teaching into our hearts. We've got to get wisdom, and we've got to be wise concerning salvation. Because the words of God makes us wise unto salvation. We've got to be wise concerning the way we live in this world, that we keep our foot from evil. And for that, we need to understand the word of God. And we need the Holy Spirit's help for that. Don't forget it. We mustn't learn God's word, but then not put it into practice. Let it go let the dust fall on it. We mustn't just learn what God's law says and then somehow just not revisit it and remember it. Don't let it slip away. Buy the truth and sell it not. That's what we read in the Proverbs. We've got to keep what we've gained. For verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. This is wisdom. Wisdom is like a person. Don't forsake her, and she will preserve thee. If you want to be preserved from evil in this world, then walk according to the Bible. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you want to get through life without falling into traps, then you need the light of God's word. Just as if you go out at night without a torch, unless you are very familiar with the way the road you're walking on, you're going to find you get lost. And also, you might do yourself an injury. And even if you're very familiar with the road that you're walking on, there's a danger that someone's put something in the way. Like, there are lots of bicycles now that you can hire anywhere. And sometimes people just leave them in the middle of a path. And you're walking along in the middle of the night and you don't realize. And you trip over it and you do yourself an injury. Or there's a pothole you haven't seen. That's been a big problem around the country. The council's not mending them. And you go out in the middle of the night, you don't realize there's a pothole and you trip up and you do yourself an injury. We need a light. The light that we've been given is God's word. She shall preserve thee. Love her and she shall keep thee. If we love the word of God, we're going to keep reading and understanding it and growing in it. If we don't love it, it's all a bit of a all a bit of a hassle to us. It's not a very pleasant duty. We'd rather be doing other things. And well, we're not going to read it, we're not going to understand it, and we're not going to follow it. And therefore, it will not keep us. Verse 8, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. We've got to exalt her. We've got to live for the word of God. We've got to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to tell other people to do so. And we've got to put the words of the Lord Jesus above everything else in our lives. And that is the way to live a fruitful and joyful life. The meek shall inherit the earth. If you want to make the best of this world, then live it according to the Maker's instruction. It makes sense, doesn't it? If you want to cook a nice dish that's made by somebody else, then use their instructions. If you miss out on their instructions, well, you can't blame them if it doesn't taste as it was meant to. So it is with living life in this world. Live it according to the Maker's instructions. And wisdom is the principal thing. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. If you want your life to be crowned with success, if you want to be approved of God, then we need to exalt and promote the teaching that we receive in God's word. And we want to make it our chief thing. And a crown of glory shall she deliver thee. You know, there's a crown for every one of us waiting for the end of our lives. Crown of righteousness to all those who are found to be in Christ when you leave this world. That's worth far more than any crown you might get in this life. You might win a prince, might be crowned like the Queen Consort was crowned last year. but it won't be like that. It won't mean anything if you haven't got a crown of glory at the end of your life, given by the Lord Jesus himself. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of my life shall be many. That particularly applies to eternal life, doesn't it? That if we apply God's word to our hearts, if we are born again and are following the Lord Jesus, then we will have eternal life. And there is a truth, though, isn't there? That if we go God's way in this world, we will live longer than many who don't. There are some sins that shorten life. And God sometimes shortens people's lives as a judgment to them. Let us so live for the Lord Jesus that that doesn't happen to us, that we live out all the days that God has allotted to us, and that we inherit eternal life at the end of it. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, shall not be narrowed. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Well, this is all the result of following the word of God, having godly wisdom, learning how to live by putting the principles of the word of God into practice. This is the way to avoid traps in life, to avoid running into trouble, not stumbling and falling flat on your face. You will find that if you put the principles of God's word into practice in your life, if you seek first God's word, God's kingdom and righteousness, and all that you need, all these things shall be added unto you. That's what we're called to do, friends. He will protect you and guard you. Let us all be in that position. Let's all be obedient to the call of the word of God. So may we all get to the end of our lives with the approval of God, with the ornament of grace and the crown of glory on our heads. That is the end of the one who gets wisdom and gets understanding and listens to the instruction of the word of God given by godly teachers. May the Lord help us to grow in our knowledge and understanding of his word. Amen.